everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
Here we go again on our own, going down the only road we've ever known. I'll stop with that. But we will talk about the end of Viking Saints. Also,
who knows what the future holds, so we'll leave it at that.
And it was left at that. Nobody ever said another thing about it again. Left at that.
Excellent. I assume the same thing will never come up on the show. We just move on.
Yeah, we just all move on. I assume it all goes
to
that.
We'll see that hat.
A lot of players whose futures are up in the air.
When it takes you 7 meetings and 7 tries over 7 days and really 7 years to fire your coach, you hire your next one in minutes. That's what you do when you're Jerry Jones. And that's the news of the day we lead with. Jerry Jones has his men. Once you stay at Jerry's house, he doesn't let you leave. that's the source from Schefter. Mike McCarthy to be introduced later this week as Cowboys coach. Jay Glazer, the first to report. Bill Plaschke, let's start with you. How does it strike you?
Smart hire, good hire. No, he's not some young Sean McVay guy who's going to rebuild the organization. They don't need that. They need someone to put the finishing touches. They need some championship credibility in the locker room. He's got the championship ring. He got the credibility. Aaron Rodgers, who won 64% of their games together. During a 10-year period of his coaching tenure in Green Bay, only Belichick had more playoff wins. Only the Patriots had more wins overall. The guy can coach. The guy's also, he's got all this new analytics things going on. He's going to bring in a lot of analytics people. He showed he's trying to evolve. I think it's a good hire. Why are you laughing?
I can hear you calling these new analytic things. I can just see the finger quotes coming in there, Plaschke. Israel Gutierrez, how does McCarthy and Dallas strike you?
Well, first, I find it funny that the source told Schefter that when he stay at Jerry's house, he doesn't lose his guy. Of course, I Googled Jerry's house. It's a place you can absolutely easily lose Mike McCarthy in. But I do think that it is a smart hire in terms of everything you're looking at, in terms of his experience, in terms of what Jerry Jones is looking at, as Bill said, to finalize this championship puzzle that they have here. I'm intrigued, though, by the offensive coaches. What are they going to do with them when you've got Kellen Moore still under contract? Is he going to be able to find his way and work with McCarthy, or is McCarthy going to have freedom to find somebody else? I think that's very intriguing when you look at what they have talent-wise. You have to consider Dak Prescott to be very highly regarded in McCarthy's mind. So will the offensive coordinator that he hires show that, get the best out of Dak?
Frank Isola?
48 games, over 500 for his career, and a Super Bowl victory. I think he has instant credibility going into that locker room, especially with the quarterback, having Coach Brett Favre and also Aaron Rodgers. I think it's a smart hire. You want to bring a guy in with experience. You can't roll the dice on any one of these big names, whether it's Lincoln Riley, who's had great success, Urban Meyer, of course. I think you need to go with someone proven. Maybe the year out of football will help Mike McCarthy. Dallas's time is now. Remember, Mike McCarthy was interviewing for a lot of other jobs. So clearly, he kind of had his pick of the litter. I think he believes in the talent that the Cowboys
have. And Jackie McMullen.
Well, everyone mentions Favre and Aaron Rodgers, and I get that. But Mike McCarthy goes way back with quarterbacks. Remember, he actually was with the Kansas City Chiefs while Joe Montana was there.
Rich Gannon.
And Rich Gannon is the one that he helped bring along. Yep. And that, to me, is a little more comparable to Dak Prescott than these other quarterbacks that you mentioned. I think it makes perfect sense for them to hire him, and I do think Frank is right. So, Frank, have a point on me that there were other teams that were interested in McCarthy. You know, the thing that I like most, Tony, is when you get fired the way he did in Green Bay, and they said you weren't modern enough, you didn't go along with the change in times, and then you spend your entire year off learning the new ways of the game, learning about analytics and how that can help you as a coach. That's a guy.
Lashley, you know what? I know. I made fun of you because you called it these new wave analytics. You're absolutely right, though, in fact that he's bringing a half a dozen analytics people onto the fold, here, which may have been an issue for Dallas this past season. I love how everybody in this panel calls him Super Bowl ready. And I mean, this team needs to make the playoffs first after this year before they talk about the Super Bowl. Let's move on and talk about some teams that at least will move on in the playoffs right now. Let's break down the game from this weekend. Three road wins, two overtimes, and the potential dynasty dagger, but we're starting, of course, with the annual Saints soul-crushing last play playoff loss, paired with a woody bouquet of refereeing and rule interpretation. You guys saw it live. You've seen it a dozen times since. Al Riverone, NFL senior VP of officiating, contact from both, consistent with what we've done all year, and not calling it offensive pass interference. Frank, you want to start there?
Are we going to court for something like this as well? I understand the frustration. We've seen this play a million times, the fade to the back of the end zone. How many times has Rob Gronkowski done it over the years? You want to go back a million years to Harold Carmichael. This is guys jostling for position. That is not egregious. It's not like the call that was missed last year against the Rams. That is a touchdown. Please stop.
Go Plaschke.
Frank, you please stop. He had his arm outstretched. He was shoving him off. It was clearly PI, Frank. Are we so numb that we don't even care about the rules anymore? Are we so kowtowed to the NFL how they don't change any replay challenges at all? We don't care about that, so we just let him get off with this? If they were ever going to overturn a PI, this would have to be the one. They've just completely washed their hands of the whole PI thing. It's ridiculous. That was PI.
You see the play all the time.
Israel Gutierrez, you want to weigh in here?
I mean, yeah, I'm with Frank. In real time, it didn't seem like offensive pass interference. And even on the replay, yes, he had his arm outstretched. But look at P.J. Williams, and this is unfair to say at the moment. P.J. Williams grabbed back, and it sort of kept his balance. And if he did it, if he would have just fallen back, maybe they do call the offensive pass interference in that situation. But I just don't think that's enough to really say, hey, this just should have changed the outcome of the game. They would have had another down there. They would have been in that same similar situation in the red zone. I'm not going to cry about that particular case.
Jackie McMullen.
Yeah, no crying in football. And you're right. If you could go the second before he did the push-off and see what P.J. Williams said, there was contact then. Of course there's contact in the biggest play of the game that's going to determine the game for both the receiver and the defender. I think the frustration lies in the fact that you have this replay right there at your availability, and there was this very quick decision. At least take the time to look at it. You bore us to death on all these other replays for days at a time. You can't at least take the time to look this over, give it a really, really good look.
Israel, you want to address
that? That's the frustration.
Yeah, and look, I talked about this back when the end of that Dolphins-Jets game happened in the regular season between two teams that had nothing to do with the postseason and had no future. They went to review on the official review late in the game, changed the outcome of that game by reversing a pass interference call. This game means so much more. They should have been way better organized than that.
Let's talk about the final result, though. Do you see it more as a loss that's on Sean Payton? Because of the timing issues and the way he called the game, or on Breeze because of the turnovers, or was it just a Minnesota win, Bill Plaschke?
I can't get by the fact that Kirk Cousins entering this game was 6-30 against teams that ended the season with plus 500 records. He beat a winning team at the winning team's house with two great drives at the end of the first half and in the overtime. This is all about Kirk Cousins. He went in there and he took it from
him. Jackie, you're shaking your head no.
No?
Well, no, it's not that it isn't all about Kirk Cousins, but... Well, no, because I'll explain if you'll give me the chance. I think it's my turn. So here's the thing. I'm not arguing that this wasn't Kirk Cousins' time, but let me ask you this, Bill Plaschke. What if that touchdown was called off and the Saints win this game? Do we now declare that Kirk Cousins is no good? He had a fantastic game, which shouldn't be determined on the win or the loss, and that's why I think those records sometimes are unfair to football players. And I think in Cousins' case, he's had a great year, and to pin it all in this game, and if they had lost the game to say, oh, Kirk Cousins didn't win another playoff game, he did everything his team asked him to do.
It's that throw, right? It's the throw to Thielen right before the touchdown pass to Rudolph. That's
the third down call.
That's the throw. Yes. Isola, can you focus and break it down to Peyton and Breeze for a second? The idea that Peyton was kind of loose the entire game, and Breeze never found a rhythm and had those turnovers.
Yeah, and we really spent so much time, you know, talking about whether or not this would be Tom Brady's last game. We don't know about Drew Brees. I think he'll be back, but he's running out of chances. And I thought at the end of regulation, it was almost like they were playing for overtime. And you got to be very careful doing that. I didn't think they were as aggressive as they could have been. I thought all year long they were the best team in the NFC. Mm-hmm. I was proven wrong.
Thank you for reminding us. Yes. In fact, everybody had New Orleans in this game. Let's all eat a mute right here. Israel Gutierrez, you can get the last word after the horn.
Yeah, mismanaging the clock at the end of regulation I thought was huge. But look, Drew Brees was not even the best quarterback on his own team yesterday, okay? And I think that on third down, if you look at what Drew Brees did, was not great.
Yep.
So these are just building narratives toward their entire story, right? And Kirk Cousins had his moments. Those two throws to Adam Thielen were amazing, one while he was getting hit. So this is just another story, and this is one that Drew Brees is going to look back at and say, man, I had my opportunities. That guy, shockingly.
Well said, except for one word, and your fellow panelists are taking cover right now because they know what's coming up next for Israel. So of all the years, the fifth straight year, I think it's sixth year in postseason where they really had just heartbreaking losses. This one to you was their own doing for the better part of it. They didn't get it done offensively, which is how their bread has been buttered for all of Drew Brees and Sean Payton's era. We'll move on. Now for you to completely ignore one team and talk about another team. Tennessee and the Patriots. Can you just mention Derrick Henry once? Can you just acknowledge Vrabel, Pence, Belichick with the Belichick clock play? Jackie, I'll let you start us off here. You can start about the Patriots' loss, or you can talk about the future and what you may have heard and seen from Tom Brady here at the podium. How did Brady sound to you, Jackie?
Besides the bad hat, this is a trick question. You asked me to talk about the Titans, but now you're asking me to talk about the Patriots. This is a trick question. I'm operating under protest here. But here's what I'll say
about the Patriots.
Tom Brady isn't ready to retire, and Bob Kraft isn't ready for Tom Brady to leave his team. I think they're going to work something out. I don't know that I always felt that way, but I do feel that way now. But is it enough is the good question. There's no question there was problems with the line. He didn't have enough help, blah, blah, blah. But Tom Brady had a bad year. He knows it. Belichick knows it, and so does Robert Kraft. So let's see how they can reconcile.
So what you heard at the podium on Saturday was enough for you to say he's coming back and the Patriots are going to do everything in their power to bring him back to New England.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say everything in their power. I just said that Robert Kraft wants to make him come back. It was interesting. He said, I hope he'll give us a chance. That was an interesting comment from Robert Kraft. What does he know that we don't?
Frank Isello, how'd you hear it?
I'd be shocked if he retired. I would not be shocked if he ends up on another team. There's been so much talk out there about that happening. Maybe even the Chargers, believe it or not. But I thought at the end of that game, it was interesting. You know, Bill Belichick, especially with the whole thing with the time, you know, Mike Vrabel completely outcoached him. But on the Patriots' last real possession, the fact that they didn't go for it on fourth down, they then punt into the end zone. And when they need their defense to make a stop, the Titans end up getting first down. So they lost in every facet of the game. Great win for the Titans on the road.
Israel Gutierrez. Performance.
I'm with Jackie where I'm confused as to why Robert Kraft is hoping and praying that he can keep Tom Brady when you would think he has said power, right? And it makes me wonder if Tom Brady is looking around and saying, look, I just want to try somewhere again because obviously I'm 42 going on 43 and I'm not getting any younger, another star-studded offense. Just put me in a place where I have a Gronkowski-like tight end, a couple of wide receivers, and let's say if I can make one more run. If they're not going to allow me to do that here, then I want to see what the picture looks like elsewhere.
And Bill Plaschke?
No, I just can't see Brady leaving. I mean, I don't think it's going to be any better for him elsewhere. They won't treat him as well. They won't take care of him as well. He's very well aware of his self-image. And I can't imagine him going to a team like in Indianapolis or even the Chargers that nobody are paying attention to and end his career in the shadows. I just can't understand that.
That's for sure.
I don't think he's leaving.
Jackie, what do you think makes sense?
Of LA.
Most sense for Brady?
It makes sense for him to come back on a 2-year deal if you're Brady, a 1-year deal if you're the Patriots, and therein lies the rub.
And that's the last word. We're going to take a break here. Did you guys see the photo of Stephon Diggs and Sean Payton after the game? Kind of looked like one thing, but we did get an idea of what it really was when the video came out. They did share some love. There was some interesting history here from the game 2 years ago in the skull. But compare that to Mike Zimmer.
I'll see you in San Francisco. Now let's go get it.
That was the celebration tweet the team had. It's possible we could recast that. Maybe put Stephon Diggs there. We'll be back by ourselves next.
I like Mike Zimmer. Bring it on.
You like me?
He's awesome.
You like me?
Through a wall for that guy.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
How are we not getting the national championship today? I mean, we got to wait another week for that. The only news from college today, Tua declaring for the NFL. Announced it with Nick Saban and Nick Saban's Coke bottle right by his side. Bill Plaschke, buy or sell?
Buying his cool shirt he's wearing in the press conference, and I'm also buying that he's coming out. His scouts have seen all the tape they need to see on him. He's fine. He doesn't risk injury. He gets paid. He'll be a top 10 pick. Smart move for him.
Israel Gutierrez?
I feel like it's a shirt A.C. Slater would wear on Saved by the Bell, so I'm all about it. But I do think it was a no-brainer. I told you when we talked about it a little while ago, last week, after Alabama played their bowl game. Hey, it's only delayed until now because they were playing a bowl game and he didn't want to be a distraction. It's a no-brainer. You train, you recover with your new team, and he's probably going to be a top 10 pick.
So that's two buying as top 10 pick post-injury. Frank Isola, are you?
Yeah, I think that's the intel that he clearly is getting. That's why he's coming out. I think very much like Zion last year. In a perfect world, they would love to play one more year of college, but the business part of it, they have to come out, and clearly Tua has to come out now.
Jackie Mack?
Yeah, I'm buying Tua. I'm buying how genuine he was in this press conference. I do think he was a lot more torn than you guys are giving him credit for. In fact, we had ESPN people reporting that as late as Friday, his team, Alabama, thought he was coming back. So I don't think it was as big a slam dunk as you guys are making it out to be. But he's doing the right thing, clearly.
Buy or sell to the Seattle Seahawks cheat code. Russell Wilson to DK Metcalf. And this is just a flat-out fly. I mean, look how much space he's got.
Yeah. Yeah.
A moment here, though, for the legend of Josh McCown. 17-year veteran, 19, making first career postseason appearance at 40. That is a Rocky story, even down to the loss. Carson Wentz. Speaking of loss, another lost postseason here. And we're going to start with this hit, Clowney on Wentz. No flag on the play. Referee Sean Smith said after the game, he was a runner, did not give himself up. We saw incidental helmet contact. Israel, incidental or flagworthy?
I don't know, think it was flagworthy if you want to go letter of the law and everything that you just said, but especially guys that play on the line have learned so much about avoiding contact when you're hitting a quarterback. Now, I understand he's technically not a quarterback here, but if you watch, he ducked his head and aimed for a guy who was clearly falling. That's just, I don't know if it's intentional. I don't know what his intent was, but that's something that could easily have been avoidable.
Frank Isola?
Yes, he was a runner, and it should apply to everyone who's running the ball. And in this situation, if you're going to talk about concussions and player safety, and you have replay review, why isn't that play reviewed? I think in that, listen, nothing against you, Clowney, he should have been out of the game. Because that hit was as nasty as it gets, and it knocked the quarterback out of the game.
So you would employ the college rule for targeting there. Jackie McMullen, how about you?
I understand what you're saying, Frank. I don't know if I can go quite that distance with you. I think once you're... Once you're a runner, which Wentz was, yes. Clowney's got to bring him down. And was there intent? I didn't feel like there was. I've watched it so many times. maybe the intent doesn't matter, in which case that's a completely different discussion. But
exactly.
I'm just not sure about it. I can't be against it because I'm just not sure enough.
Bill Plaschke?
Well, Jackie, he already was down. I mean, you saw him. Clowney dipped his helmet. He literally dipped his head to hit Wentz in the head. I agree with Frank. If this were college, he'd be out of the game. It should have been a 15-yard penalty. And then they ought to start to make the targeting out of the game in the NFL as well.
Seattle getting a win that I think everybody on the panel on Friday, except for Kalisha, who liked Philly's chances, was going to get. But let me ask you this. Would you agree with this statement, Frank, that the Seahawks are the most dangerous team to come out of the weekend?
I think so, and I think a lot has to do with the quarterback. And it's funny, last week we were talking about the three votes that Lamar Jackson didn't get and Russell Wilson got those three votes. Let's be fair, Russell Wilson is a pretty good quarterback with a lot of playoff victories.
Jackie?
Yeah, they're scary, but watch out for the Titans. I think they're pretty scary, too. And we always talk about the quarterbacks, but wasn't it interesting that Breeze and Brady were both knocked out by teams who used running backs, in essence, to beat them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plaschke?
I'm still the only one holding water for Kirk Cousins over here.
You're holding quite a bit of water for him.
The Seahawks are the one team. Russell Wilson accounted for 95% of their net yards. That's the most in any NFL game in 60 years. They're a one-man team. They can't continue.
Israel, last word.
Yeah, but that one man is also an MVP candidate, so you kind of want the ball in his hands. I don't know. I'm a little bit with Jackie, though, in terms of when Ryan Tannehill became a starter. Look at the Titans' numbers, and you look at Mike Vrabel, clearly knows what he's doing as a coach. They are really dangerous.
All right. Look at that horn. That came quick. Frank, Jackie, I had no idea. We were so...
And he said narrative, too.
Oh, well, he somehow survived. Oh, yeah. That's it for Ice Solo.
No crime, Frank.
We'll remember that in the future.
Hey, Jackie, Matt, good show today, guys. Bill Plaschke, Israel Gutierrez. Showdown in 2 minutes.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy.
It's been 48 hours. It still does not make sense that Deshaun Watson did not go down on this play. Also doesn't make sense that Josh Allen took sacks here and here. And it certainly doesn't make sense he lateraled here. Doesn't make sense that somebody won this game, Houston versus Buffalo. But Bill Plaschke, Israel Gutierrez, welcome to Showdown. Was it more that Houston won it or Buffalo blew it? Bill?
You saw it right there, Tony. Houston won it. Deshaun Watson got sacked twice and still didn't go down. 34-yard pass to Tywan Jones, set up the game-winning field goal. Deshaun Watson won that for him.
If you were to ask how the Buffalo Bills could win this game, it's with Allen making plays with his legs and that defense doing exactly what it did to Deshaun Watson. It just so happens Deshaun Watson was a bigger star, worked out of it, and his team won. So you got to credit them, no?
All right. No, I mean, don't ask a question. Answer the question there, Israel. You both agree? We'll split the points. We'll move on. Showdown 2, NHL. Look at this, all right? The Washington Capitals called it over down 2 with 1 minute left on their Twitter. Only to have the team come back, score 2, and then win it in overtime. So we're showing that down versus the headbutt goal we had on the ice as well. This is disallowed. Would have tied the game for the Sens. Israel, what you got?
I mean, I've seen good comebacks before, but I've never seen something in a game that wins the game that you actually don't know the rules about. Neither team knew the rule. They were celebrating, the other team's disgusted.
Izzy, I mean, that wasn't just a comeback. It was the first time in 50 years that a team had allowed an empty net goal in the last minute of regulation and still won the game. That was an historic comeback. That's the better play.
Ronaldo.
It is historic.
Header.
But so is the fact that Bill uses the stat and loses the showdown to Israel Gutierrez.
And that is, how does that happen?
30 seconds of FaceTime.
If you haven't seen the clip yet, you need to. Kevin Love is clearly exasperated with the Cleveland Cavaliers, possibly with his head coach, John Beilein. Look, after LeBron left in 2018, Kevin Love signed an extension there for 4 years. Problem is, they told him he was going to rebuild. They were going to rebuild, Kobe Altman told them, and they haven't done anything close to that. They're playing with a college-style coach and seem to be playing with college players around Kevin Love. Look, if you want to know what it looks like to demand a trade without publicly demanding a trade, just watch Kevin Love. Check his Instagram. Free Kevin Love. He needs to get out of there.
Free Kevin Love. Where do you think he's going to end up, Israel?
I mean, Portland.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow.
Let's go back to me.